Alright, beginning on the top of Mamad Chedem Aleph. Yesterday the Mishnah discussed two issues. One was Shor Shel Hekdesh, which we dealt with yesterday in the Sukkah yesterday. The second thing that it dealt with was Shor Shel Nachri, or Shor Shel Kanani, and that there's an imbalance in the halacha between Shor Shel Kanani and then Shor Shel Yisrael. So Mara wants to know why that is. Shor Shel Yisrael Shel Nagach Shor Shel Kanani Patur. Amrei Mimonoshach. Right, you're inconsistent in the halacha over here. If you say right that you go short, you should show rehu. That's got to be dafko, right? Then knani kigach so not really patur. Then when a short knani damages the short Yisrael, he should also be patur. Meaning that if you're going to make it exclusionary, it should be exclusionary to both parties, right? The rehu lav dafko, rehu lav dafko, meaning that we can include right knani in the term if it goes Yisrael. It's a short rehu. I'm sorry, afilu the Yisrael. Then even Yisrael Shor should be chayev when he's nagach as a Shor Kanani, and nagach Kanani is chayev. So how do you have an inconsistency in the Mishnah? Now the Gemara answers up. Amar Ebo, Amar Kro, Amad v'amudid eret. Hashem got up and he measured the land. Ra'ah, he saw, v'yater goyim. So they, probably the literal translation, which the Gemara is going to get to later on, but yater means that he dispersed the goyim. Now the drasha here is Ra'ah sheva mitzvot. Right, she kiblu alehem b'nei Noach. Right, so then he saw the seven mitzvot, the Benach, the seven of them, came in Shlokim U, since they didn't keep them, Amad v'hitir mumanam l'Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu went ahead and was matir mumanam l'Yisrael. V'yochanan has an additional drush, Amar Mehacha, Hofia mi'ar paran, right, that is the medrash, the famous medrash, that Hashem went around to all the Amim and offered them the Torah before he offered it to the Klal Yisrael. Mi'paran Hofia mumanam l'Yisrael. From Paran, he gave all their mamon to Israel, and as Rashi explains over here, is that kishisive ve'chziru haTorah kol amot lo kibua, when they didn't accept the Torah, Shem was matir mamonam li Israel. So Tanya Nami Achli, we have a brisa that supports this. Shoshu Yisrael shenagach shoshu kenani patur. Shoshu kenani shenagach shoshu Yisrael ben tam uben muad mishalem nezek shalem. Shnei mar amad viyome peit eretz ra'av ayater goyim. Ve'omer, and additionally it says, Ophiyah me'ar paran. My ve'omer. Why do you need two proof sukim for this? V'chite ma'ahai amad v'yomadeid eret mi'boylek the Rav Matno the Rav Yosef. We need that pasuk that Arshin like Rav Matno and Rav Yosef do. Tashma, I have an additional pasuk that shows this same conclusion, which is Ophiyah me'ar paran. Mi'paran, Ophiyah mu'manam l'Yisrael. My the Rav Matno. What is this alternative that you want to do with the pasuk that Rav Yosef and Rav Matno? Damar Rav Matna heard the explaining. Amad biyomadei eretz ra'ah, ma ra'ah, ra'ah shev mitzvot shinit tabo alem b'nei Noach v'lo kaimu. They did not keep them. Amad v'hegla otam mi'alad matam. He went ahead and he, Shem was goleh them from their land. And that was what the, seems like the literal translation of it is by ter goyim. Ter goyim means that he dispersed, right, the nations around. He was goleh otam. Umay mashma dahai v'yater lishna de'aglu yehu. How do you know that Vayater, right, has a Lashon? How do you know that means Galut? Tivach Vayater Goyim. Uch, Tiv Hatam, and it says there when it's describing the animals that are kosher and non-kosher, it describes an animal, that Ter Bahen Alaret, that it has legs, right, that not only does it have legs, four legs, but has an additional four legs that allow it to jump to move around on the land. So the Ter here, Ben Alaret, means to be moved around, right, not to stay stationary. Umitargima lekatzabahom, to jump with them alara, on the land. So because of that, it means, he's explaining that bayater means to move one from one place to the other, and that is exactly what galut is. My the Rabbi Yosef, what's the position of Rabbi Yosef, that he uses this pasuk word? Rabbi Yosef, amad biyomadeid eret ra'ah, ma ra'ah, ra'ashe v'mitzvot shekiblayem b'nei Noach, v'lo kaimun, amad v'hitiran li'islahem. He went ahead and he was master of the sheva mitzvah and hach. Let them never mutter. Right, says it's great. Etzkar, right? He says, what do you mean? They got a reward. They didn't keep the mitzvot, so Hashem took them away. They got a reward for that. Someone who does a chait now is benefited from the chait because we removed the obligation from them to keep the mitzvot. But even if they keep them now at this point, not that they will still be held accountable for doing the sheva mitzvot b'nei Noach. But if they do them, they won't get any schar for that. Vilo, is that really true? V'atanya of a b'raisa that says, Rabbi Meir Omer, minayin shafilu nachri, v'otzik v'torah shehu kokein gadol. Right, we say that, right, that a nachri, who goes ahead and learns Torah, that he has a din like a kohen gadol. Again, obviously, Kohen Gadol is also a play that we've seen in other places, but Kohen Gadol indicates a level of Kedusha, spirituality, the person who goes, Yikara Mipninim, right? It's more, you know, that's the description of the Torah, that it's more valuable than precious jewels, but also, what? More Yikara Mi Lafnai Lifnim, the one who goes into the inner chamber, which is the Kohen Gadol. There is it, and Nachri that learns Torah is even greater than a Kohen Gadol. So, Lamarashi, Yaseo Tam Adam, Vichayim Bahem. Then anybody, Adam here has the broad interpretation of the word Adam, V'chayim Bahem, Kohanim, Levi'im, Yisraelim, Lo Ne'emar, doesn't specify Yisraelim, Kohanim, Levi'im, that's not what's specified. El Adam. Adam is a generic term for any Telem Elokim. And therefore, based on that, Halamada, Sha'afilu, Nachri, Vosik, Bit Torah, Hareyuk, Kohen Gadol. And even if a non-Jew learns Torah, he has a din of a Kohen Gadol. So Amrei, what's the conclusion here? Ein mekablin aleim schar ke mitzuva vose, el kemisha eino mitzuva vose. Ein ochanami, you would get schar if they do the mitzvah, if they keep them. But there's a difference between someone who's mitzuva vose, versus someone who's mitzuva vose, which we saw this in the Gemara in the Kiddushin, Amar Rabbi Chanina, but dola mitzuva vose, yoter misha eino mitzuva vose. Greater is the level of one who is commanded to do something and does it, versus someone who does something voluntarily. So now we have a couple issues to deal with. I'll point them out here. One is the word Adam. We know that the word Adam is a famous Rabbeinu Tam here that we've mentioned in other places, Yivamot. Also that the word Adam we use, for instance, by Tuma. When it comes to Tuma Do'el, right, we say Adam ki yamut bo'el. Atem kurim Adam, lohen kurim Adam. So how can we say that the term Adam, if it means the generic person or man, meaning Telem Elokim, when in other places we dash in the word Adam to mean Atem kurim Adam, right? Lohen kurim Adam. The Rabbeinu Tam tries to distinguish over here between Adam le Ha Adam, right, with the Hey Ayidiyah. The Adam, which is the generic Adam, versus Ha Adam, which is the mankind, which would be, right, the Telem Elokim. So that makes that differential. There are problems with that, which Tosafot deals with over here. Right, on the other hand, he adds another part of the definition, Meish Lomar, the Makom Shem Askir Hashem, Maskir Ol Dei Kochavim L'Shem Adam. Whenever it mentions the Shem Hashem, it also mentions them, Be'adam. Klomar, Davar Chalash Nolad Be'adam. Something weak that came out of Adam. The Reba has a different interpretation. I've just pointed out that they have to deal with it. The Re in other places that has to deal with what could have been the alternative in the Pasuk. And it mentions that what could you have written otherwise in the Pasuk. If there's an alternative that you could have written, right, Yisrael or B'nai Yisrael, and it would have fit the Pasuk, then we say the Adam means, right, the Nechri. And in the other place, when it's a case where I couldn't have fit into the Pasuk, then the Adam, right, means just Klal Yisrael, because there was no other alternative to what's put in the Pasuk. The early, just be aware of the fact that there is such a difference of opinion. The second thing we have to deal with is this idea that a Nachri can learn Torah. We're going to see again in a second, the Gemara is going to have another case here of people learning Torah. We have the Gemara in Sanhedrin, which says, right, that anybody who's Malamed Torah, the Nachri, is Chayav Mita, and that there's generally a negative a chazal of a negative towards people who teach Torah to Nachri or to Nachrim that learn Torah. The distinction that's drawn by many, which is that the difference between Torah Shebichtav versus Torah Shebe'alpeh. Torah Shebichtav was something that was available and given to Kol Amim, versus Torah Shebe'alpeh, which was unique to, and the unique Mesorah and the unique Kedusha of Klal Yisrael. Meaning that we see that here. Hashem went around to all the Amim and offered the Torah to him. And we also see that in Yoshua. Yoshua, when they come into the land, they write the Torah and the stones to be available to everybody to see. So when they're talking about that Torah, we're talking about Torah Shebichtav. That is something that's available to all, and that is something maybe here with the Gemara dealing with Torah Shebichtav. Torah Shebalpeh, which is Arif Morashah, Kilat Yaakov, and that is unique to Klal Yisrael, that might be what the Gemara in Sanhedrin and other places is negative towards teaching the, right, the Amim or being a Nachri being involved in Torah Shebalpeh, which is the unique part of Klal Yisrael's acquisition through their thing, that's the Vinishma. We'll see in a second that it's not so clear from the Gemara coming up that Chiluk is not so perfect, but that is a Chiluk that is mentioned by many to explain this.
That would seem to support those who want to learn the Torah without that interpretation of Chazal.
Right, so that is a question, and it's a deeper theological question about Chazal's interpretation. When the Chazal is drash, so raised the Pasuk, does that become the Pashup Pshat in the Pasuk? Or is there still a Pshat that goes without it? For instance, an example of this is Amlik Holy Snei Ver, Lotitan Mikshol. When we say the Pasuk Holy Snei Ver, Lotitan Mikshol, right, the literal interpretation is do not put a stumbling block in front of a blind person. What happens if someone puts a stumbling block in front of a blind person? Chazal clearly interpret the pasuk to mean not literally placing a stumbling block, but rather giving bad advice to others. So many of the Rishonim believe that that is the simple interpretation of the pasuk, right? And everything else, right, that the same relevant actually putting a stumbling block is no longer relevant to the pasuk. The other Rishonim say no, you can still have the pshat of pasuk. What Chazal is saying is a drash, that is a drash in the pasuk, not the pasuk pshat of the pasuk. That will be determined, again, what you're saying, Svi, will be determined when Chazal's interpretation of a pasuk, does that become pshat in the pasuk? And therefore, right, the proper way to teach it is with that pshat. Or on the other hand, is there a pshat? There is a pshat that exists before the drash of Chachamim that has to be looked at independent of the drash of Chachamim. Again, that will be, right, a question that's...
How do you know from the How general is the
Oh, very good. So that's an excellent question. That's the next issue it had to do with. First of all, Tosfos over here points out right away. He says, Mashma dafko binyan zeh. That says that it thinks it's unique, narrows it down, narrows this whole concept down to this case here in our Mishnah. This case of Shor Shnag Achshor, that's where he thinks it's a unique aspect. He says, now that works well, according to, we're going to see later on. I'm not going to get into the whole sugya today. We'll have to deal with it later on in Baba Kama. But there's a sugya later on in Baba Kama about Gezel Kanani. Right, so there's one opinion that says Gezel Kanani is Asur. So according to him, it works well. Gezel Kanani is Asur. This is the only place where we were Matir, quote unquote, Gezel Kanani. On the other hand, the one who says that Gezel Kanani is Mutar, right, then you have to deal with it because it's not so straightforward. Again, when we get to that Sugi over there, you have to deal with what does it mean that Gezel Kanani is Mutar? In which circumstances? Under what conditions? Right, and also the issues of Chilul Hashem, Kiddush Hashem, they all play in these factors, and therefore it may not be so straightforward just to say that, you know, Hifirim will not be struck. That's the one, number one. That's the first thing we have to say. Second, we have to say it's very clear here that the Rishonim were very uncomfortable with this addition, a lot of which because they lived among non-Jews, right? And many of them in the church and many others looked at the Gemara, right? And they knew what was going on in here. So you'll see on the side here, first of all, you'll see a Shita Mikubetzet on the side of the Gemara here in Baba Kama. You look throughout the rest of the Mesefta, there is no Shita Mikubetzet on the side. Look at the Shita Mikubetzet quotes over here. A number of Rishonim, one of them is the Meiri. Again, the Meiri on Baba Kama, he quotes right here. If you look at the Shita Mikubetzet, Aleph, old Aleph, says over here, Rashi Mitzmas, Mashma, Tuchosh Mekamim Sheva Mitzmos, Dinam Eklehu Kedinam Islam. So he says, we can infer from this that the reason that they lost their ability to collect money or have it, it's a knas of some sort, because they don't keep Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach. But if there are, we live among a group of individuals that do keep the Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach, then we would, right, have the same din, right, that they would, you know, whatever din they have or whatever social contract they have, that we would abide by it for both sides because they keep the Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach. Umiyata. Says we don't have to say this about the civilized nations that we live among that keep the Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach, and that they have laws and interpersonal laws, they have civil laws that govern them, and that we'll be subject to those same civil laws as the nations at which we live. So it's very clear that the Shita Mikubetzet is here because of, right, the problem that this brings up in terms of the issue of saying that, no, Hitzirah Momanam Nisho, Gezel Kanani would be Mutar. And then also, again, in the next Ozbet, the Shita Kumbetzet, he says Momanam Nisrael, right? So he says over here, what does that mean? He was Matar Momanam Nisrael. Komar, Ra'ashak Zarim, Velev Rabahem, V'chashudim Al Shehen Mitzuvim Mishavim Mitzvot. It says that they had their behaviors, right? Their actions were so, right, awful. And that they were done out of a generous heart and not out of the proper place, and they didn't keep, they were chashud to keep the Shem Mitzvah. So certainly they didn't care about, right, the plight of another individual. If they didn't care about any of the basic laws, right, then they didn't, certainly are not going to care about the plight of another individual, and therefore the pikach kantam, that's the knas. Again, the Shita Mikubetzet is quoting the Rabbi of Yonatan, who again narrows this whole case down to the Tnanim, or to the Sheva Umot. They didn't keep it, since they were not Gudar in the Sheva Mitzvot. There was an indication that they did not keep, right, that they did not keep or care about civil issues or interpersonal issues. They didn't care about what happened to someone else. And because of that, he cared about Amnistra. And that's the specific use here of the word Tnani. Tnani is indicative of just Tnani and not a generalization. Again, Shita Mikubetzet is bringing down here both times opinions that very much narrow the scope of what is said here in the Gemara, indicative of the fact that among the countries that they lived in, this would not necessarily be applicable. Now, whether that's just apologetics or versus whether that was their true ma'amad, that's what they believed, right, that this was the true understanding of what it meant here, that Sheva Mitzvah Bnei Noach only means for people who don't keep it, people are not mugudar, people don't have civil laws, and that's the case, or does that broader application, once they violated it, then it became mutar, even afterwards, if they reclaim it, reclaim that civility.
It has to
know that
after this.
What?
It has to know that
Kimimimimim is after this. Because it's an apostle. That's the way the Chachamim. So they're saying that it's clear that the Chachamim brought it in this context, and therefore that's where it applies. The Rambam formulates it slightly differently. If you look at the Rambam, right, it's brought down. The Rambam is brought over here. The Kutub of Rambam, which is quoted from you, it's from Niske Momo, Perachet Alapahe, says, it's Vif, She'in Aknanim, Mechaibim, Et Adam, El Behem Tov. That this is a unique aspect of the Knanim. The Knanim did not believe when your money does damage, or the Torah believes that your money goes out and does damage, something that you own does damage, you are culpable, you are chayav, to repay or to repair the damages caused by your money. In the Dinei HaKnanim, that was not the case. If your animal went out and did damage, you were not responsible for that animal. So the other Rambam says is that we just treat them right, the same way that they deal with their own laws, right? We're treating them as well as they'd like to be treated in their own system. So now he says, because of that, it was a knatu v'knanim, because not zehirim mitzvot, they misalkim a nezek. They're not zehirim mitzvot. They don't get rid of nezek when it is perpetrated, right? V'im lo tizchayev otam amizke b'empam. But if that's the case, then why don't we say that it's, you know, reflected? Just like you don't pay when you damage them, they should also not have to pay when they damage you, because that's their, if we're damn them in their own laws, so that should be the case also. The Rambam says that no, we force them to pay when they do damage to others, because we need to have a dissuasion from them allowing their animals to go around and wreak havoc amongst the population. So we charge them a knas so that they will be shomer of the animal. On the other hand, when we damage their animal, the way they view that is, you're not culpable, so therefore we treat them like their own dinim. So again, the Rambam seems to, in some ways, narrow this concept down. The writer on the spot argues with this concept, and he says over there that they actually might punish the individual. They give him corporal punishment, not that there's no monetary reparation, but maybe corporal punishment. That should be a kosher gain that we should mechayev them. So the writer disagrees over there, but I'm just pointing out the Rambam again seems to narrow the scope of what we've learned over here, and it's very important. And that all the Rishonim have gone out of their way to narrow the scope or indicate that the scope is unique for a certain set of circumstances or a certain set of people that apply to it. It's not a generalization about the ability to be mafkir momenam shel kananim. Again, it will come up later on when we deal in the Baba Kama to deal with tax evasion, which is really the sugya over there of yezel kananim, right? Whether one is allowed to avoid or evade taxes, and in what context they are, and what it has to do, how do we fit in with yezel kananim? That's again a sugya later in Baba Kama, but I'm just saying here, it's clear that the Rishonim went out of their way to narrow the scope of that which was mentioned over here. All right, now continuing in the Gemara, Manachet, Tarabanan, Rekvar Shacha Malchut Romi, Shnei Tzar Diyotot, Eitzel Chachmei Yisrael. So Malchut Romi wanted to check out what's going on in the Torah, so they sent some sort of people in the hierarchy, right, that came over to deal with the Kal Yisrael, to check out what was going on over here. Lemdunu Torotchem. It says, teach us your Torah. They went ahead, they learned. Right? So, we went through the whole Torah, and we believe everything is true. I mean, that you have a beautiful Torah. There's one thing that we believe is not emet, does not make any sense. The same question the Gemara asked. If Reu Dafka, then the Kanani should also be Patur, ki Negak Israel, li Pater. Vi Reu Dafka, Apil di Israel, ki Negak Tani, li Chayes. Meaning that there's gotta be a consistency, a parallel between the two sides. Either they both should be Chayab, or they both should be Patur. Right, so there's a name of Manzim Lamachut, right, that we will not say to the government, and we won't tell on you. Right now, as Joseph pointed out over here, well, that sounds like it was still applicable in the time of the Romans. Now, according to some of the Rishonim who limited to the Knanim, then maybe that's not true because they have the Knanim weren't there anymore. On the other hand, those that limited, those that didn't keep the Sheva Mitzvah Bnei Noach, that would still be applicable there because they did not. The Romans were not keeping on the Sheva Mitzvah Bnei Noach, and so it was still an application. Versus when we're talking about Western civilization, we're talking about medieval Europe, where there was, you know, at least some sense of Sheva Mitzvah Bnei Noach, and they did have a civil structure, even though not everybody liked it, but there was some sort of civil structure, then maybe it would not have application. So it depends on which of the Rishonim and whether this, right, is a question mark for them about why it applied here. Question now Tosfos raises is, again, how do we teach them Torah? So Tosfos gives two possibilities of, you know, why we taught them Torah. Now, number one, Rashi points out that why didn't they tell them the reason? Meaning that there is a reason behind it. So Rashi says they didn't tell them the reason because they didn't, they were scared to tell them that the real reason, that Hirtimra went out and showed Knanim. That's a big statement, and that is something that if they told, they think that maybe if they go told Rome that, you know, that'd be the end of the, end of Torah learning in the Jewish nation. So they felt better than, they'd rather leave it as a skira than to explain it to them. Tosfos, on the other hand, says two possibilities. Either, right, that they were to kill them if they didn't teach them the Torah, and that's why they taught them the Torah over here, and there's no din of Yeherav Val Yavor not to teach a Goy Torah. Therefore, they taught them the Torah because there's no Yeherav Val Yavor. Or, Tosfos says, not to Geirim. The other part is that they became converts, because you see over here in the end, that they said Torah Hu Emet, right, we see that they didn't go tell the Malchut on them, that maybe after they're learning Torah, or in their process of learning Torah, they became Geirim, that's what entitled them to teach them Torah. On the other hand, it's a question mark over here because we're dealing with Torah Shebal Peh. And that's one question over here. They're quoting a Mishnah which is Torah Shebal Peh. So there they taught them Torah Shebal Peh.
Again, you need an answer. That they were going to convert.
Right. Oh, that's also talked about, whether they were, they talked about a Tuatzvam Gevim. They made themselves as if they were coming to convert, and that's how they learned. They were pretending to convert, and then maybe they did convert. But either way, it is talking about Torah Shebal Peh, which presents somewhat of a problem for those that differentiate between Torah Shebal Peh and Torah Shebal Peh. And that's why you have to come on to these other answers of either that there was a life-death situation or they looked like they were becoming Geirim in order to get around the problem of teaching them Torah Shebal Peh over here.
Right? There's the other point. Right? You could say the Romans were looking at it from an intellectual point.
Which he's suggesting that the reason that there was an intellectual question about the MS of Torah, because over here about the Kanani issue, but it wasn't applicable anymore. That's why they didn't go tell them up. Well, it's not because they were good hearted, they didn't want to get the Jews in trouble. But since it was no longer applicable, right, therefore they didn't report it to the government. That's an interesting shot. I didn't thought of that. Alright, so now continuing the Gemara of Shmuel Bar Yehuda, Shkivile Brato, Shumari lost the daughter. The Rabbanan said to the Ula, let's go up and give the Chama, let's go be Menachem Avel. So I'm going to the Bavlai. I don't like the comforting of the Nichum Avelim of the Bavlai, because they are, Gidufu, right, meaning that they are, it's questionable. Their Nechama that they give is questions or is problematic in terms of a Kaddish Baruch or how they approach a Kaddish Baruch. Why? The Amri, what do they say? The Amri, my, Efshah the Mevad. They say to the person who lost somebody, what could you have done? Right? What could you do about it? So he says in this, the implications of such a statement was, if you could have done something, you would have objected to the Zero of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. They said, I can't be amongst these people. That type of comfort to an Avel is inappropriate, because it indicates not the, what we call, Siduk HaDin, right, that a Kodesh Baruch Hu is the one who does down the din and we accept whatever Kodesh Baruch Hu's din is, but rather it says that we are unable to do something about the din of Kodesh Baruch Hu, and therefore we accept it, that we never can't do anything. But implication of that is if we could do something about the din of Kodesh Baruch Hu, meaning that we would have objected to the din of Kodesh Baruch Hu, so Ula was uncomfortable with that. He went alone to Menachem Avel, to Shmuel Bar Yehuda, and now we're going to see what type of Nichum Avelim Ula does. Avelai, Vayom HaShem, Elai, Al Tatserek Moab, Al Tatskarbam Milchama. Right, that it says to Moshe, you're not allowed to bother Moab. You can't start a war, try to incite them to war. Why does Hashem have to tell Moshe not to have a battle or not to fight with the Moabi? Right, where was he coming up with the idea that he's going to go fight with Moab? He didn't have any permission. He wasn't instructed to go fight Moab. And Moshe went ahead and was done a kavachomer. Amar, umam midyanim shlo bo'u el lazoret Moab. The midyanim only came to help the nation of Moab. Amrat to work, sroret the midyanim, ikitem otam. Right, that there's a command from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to go and, you know, attack the midyanim. So here, if someone who's only aiding and abetting, right, the fighting with Klai Yisrael, causing problems with Klai Yisrael, there was a tzivui to go ahead and destroy them or to fight with them, then certainly, right, Moabim, right, the Moabim, when it comes to the Moabim, Atzman lo Kosh, certainly going to wage war. Tosfos says over here that it's lobbed up for because These psukim are out of order. Surah Demitunim comes after the outside Seret Moab. So Tov Rayo Tom, the way he explains it, says that had it not been for this Sivoy beforehand, Moshe would have been Dan the Kal Vachomer. This is a preventative measure to stop him from being Dan the Kal Vachomer in the future. Not that he was actually Dan such a Kal Vachomer, because, again, the psukim are out of order otherwise. So now we have Moshe Kain, so at the top, also deals with other Milchamot with Moab. And if you want to see them, with Eglon, Moab, Moab, the other times in the time of David HaMelech, how they went to war against Moab. Right now, Amar Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lo Kesha Alta, Amdatcha, Alta Dati. That's right, you know, you have a human mind, your scope or your understanding is limited, and because you thought, you know, meaning that if you down a Kal Vachomer from Midian, you would have attacked Moab. But I'll tell you, I have a different consideration here. What's my different consideration? Of course, Baruch says, Shtei Predot Tavot Yesh Li Dosi Mehen. I have, coming out of these nations, I have two, right, younglings that are going to come out of that. Ruth HaMoviah V'Nama HaMonit. Right, I have Moab and Ammon, I have these two special individuals who are going to be born from there, and therefore I don't want you to wipe them out. Balot Varim Kal Vachomer. Uma Bishvil Shtei Prodot Chedovot. Chas HaKadosh Baruch Hu Beit Umot Gedolot V'lo Yechriban. Right here, because of just two individuals that are going to be born, one from each nation, right, we went ahead and Hashem protected an entire nation because of that. So Bito Shel Rabbi. Right, you, your daughter, Imsherahi, had she been kasher, Druyahi, let's take him in a Davatog, something good would have come out of her, Akhaskama Vakama, Davachaya, she would have lived. Right, so the fact that she died is an indication that, right, exactly, nothing good would have come out of her, and therefore she deserved to die. Again, I tell you, you see the Nechama Vula, to an extreme form, is this idea of Siddu Kadin, right, the idea that whatever Akash Baruch Hu does must be right, right, and whatever he is, we see that Akash Baruch Hu's considerations are way beyond. Right, the considerations of human beings. Obviously, the statement that he makes is a very painful statement in terms of right, a statement to Rabbi Yehuda. But nevertheless, I think Google is projecting an idea of Siddu Kadin versus what the Bavliim projected, which is an idea of that we are powerless, negative Kadosh Baruch Hu, indicative of the fact that had we had the ability, or if we were powerful, we would try to upend or right to somehow change what a Kadosh Baruch Hu did. Way, I think both of you are giving interpretations possibly either that she had fulfilled her role already, which is a possibility, or that it has to do with simply about offspring, but she herself was a good person. They're nice. Again, I don't think it's necessarily the chat, but you have to do something to lessen the blow of what he is saying. So now I'm Rabbi Chiyah Barav, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, in a Kodesh Baruch Hu Mekapeach Tzar Kol Briyah. Hashem never holds back to tzar of any individual. Feel tzar tzuchan na'eh, right? Even the simple way a person speaks, or names their child has implications. The Ilu Bechira the Kamra Moav, right? The Bechira, the older daughter, who named her child that was born from her father Moav Meav, right? Amar Lo Kadosh Baruch Hu Moshe Al Tatzeret Moav. The Al Tizkar Ba Milchama. The instruction by Moav is do not provoke them, right? Do not bring them to battle. Milchama Udelo Ha Angar Yavivu. You're not allowed to fight a war with them, not incite them to war, but you can force them to work for you. I mean, you can subjugate them, and you can force them to do what you need. Tzira, the Kamra Ben-Ami, the Tzira, the young one who called her son Amon, which is Ben-Ami, does not indicative of the fact that it came from her father. Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu Moshe, Karabda Mo Bnei Amon, Atit Tzureim, V'Atit Garbam Kalal. And there is even Afilu Atit Tzureim. You're not allowed to, what? You're not allowed to be involved with them at all. Afilu Angari Lo Tabibu. Right, that you're not allowed to, want to do anything with them. Not allowed to subjugate them. Not allowed to do anything that will cause them, right, to be not friendly towards you. So you see, from that simple naming of the child, the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave Amon, right, a much greater protection from Klal Yisrael than that of Moab. On the other hand, Amar Rabbi Chiya Barava, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, right, Olam Yakdim Adam Levar Mitzvah, right, so we saw this together in Nazir, Shebishvil Laila Achat Shekid Mata B'chira Letzira Kid Mata Arba Dorot Yisrael. And a person should also always want to do a mitzvah. And over here, we've also spoken about this in the past, that they did it the shame mitzvah nitkavnu. Afilu, right, avera, lishma, which is done the shame mitzvah, can be greater, right, than a mitzvah that is done shabal lishma. So over here also, they were doing something, they believed the world was destroyed. What they did was not necessarily, quote unquote, an avera, it was something that was done the shame mitzvah, and their intentions were right. So therefore over here, Bechira, the night that the Bechira went before the Tzira, kidma avar darot Yisrael. Why do we know that? Oved Yishai David Vishlomo. When it comes to Ruth Moaviah, right, she joined Klal, so she married Boaz, right, and then she has Oved Yishai David Vishlomo. Shlomo's child, the Ilu Tzira, right, the younger daughter, Ammon, right, has to wait Ad Rechavam. Dichtiv, b'shem imo, Na'ama ha'amonit. His mother's name was Na'ama ha'amonit. So only at the time of Rechavam do we have Ammon joining into Klal Yisrael. So you have four generations before they came in, and again, they're not soter themselves, meaning that Bechira did something first, she jumped to do the mitzvah, what she did was right, and therefore she's rewarded for that aspect that she joined Klal Yisrael for the Roth either. On the other hand, the naming of the child afterwards, she could have done in a much more tenua fashion. The fact that she didn't, right, also, and then she walked out on the side of that, the instructions to Klal Yisrael about their view towards Ammon and Moab, that the Tzira got the benefit over there because she named the Ben-Ami versus Moab of Me'av. Right, Tanu Rabbanan. Shorshe Yisrael, Shnagach Shorshel Kut'i. Alright, so now over here we're talking about not a Shor Knani, but rather a Shor Kut'i. Patur. Shorshel Kut'i, Shnagach Shorshe Yisrael, Tam Mishalem Chati Nezek, Moab Mishalem Nezek Shalem. They have a din like Klal Yisrael in terms of damage done to them, they have a din of Tam Moad. Whereas when they do that, right, when they have damage is done to their property, then they are Patur. Rabbi Meir Omer, Shorshe Yisrael, Shnagach Shorshel Kut'i, Patur. Shokudish and Agach Shorshel Yisrael Ben Tam Beirah Mishlam Nezek Shalem. So it's a din of a Knani according to Rabbi Meir. Lememra. So it's clear from this. The Savar Rabbi Meir Kutin Gira Rayutim. So there's a discussion throughout the Gemara. What's the status of the Kutin that live in the Shomron area? Right. So the Kutin, the Gemara discusses in many places that either were they Geri Emet, they converted for real reasons, and therefore they are treated like Jews, full blown Klal Yisrael. Or the other hand, that they are Ger Arayot. They only converted out of fear, because the lions were causing problems with them, and then they converted to keep the Elukeya Aretz and protect themselves. And because of that, they really are not converts. They're still Goyim. So it seems to me, it's indicative of here, their mayor treats them like full-blown Goyim, that they're like Kanaanim. And therefore their din of Kutim is similar to that of a Kanaanim. Now we still have to explain the Tanakhama's position. What I will do is go through Rabbi Meir and then come back and we can explain the Tanakhama's position. The Gemara says, is that really true? Right? Kolak Tamim, Abayim Yirekim Torim. So let's just some background here. When it comes to the Dinei Nida, Mina Torah, a woman is only becomes a Nida when she sees Dama Makor. And when we say see Dama Makor, it means literally sees Dam that's coming from the Makor. And she has to, according to many, Israel has to have a Hargasha. She has to actually have to feel the discharge of the Dam from the Makor and then see, literally see the blood. The Chachamim instituted something called Ketem. Ketem is a stain that is found on her Bikadim. And even though Minasurah, that's not qualified to make one into Nida, Midrabanon, the Chachamim said that a Ketem makes a woman into a Nida. That qualifies already to cause her to be classified as a Nida, even though it's not, quote unquote, the Dama Makor demanded by the Torah. So now when it comes to a Ketem has a din of Nida, of Dam Nida and of Nida, which means that it's Tameh, the Dam is Tameh, right, all these things. Now, that is true of a Jewish woman. That is not true of non-Jewish women. Non-Jewish women, first of all, in general, don't have a din of nida. They don't have a din of dam nida at all. The chachamim would go there by all right, non-Jewish women that they have a din of a zava. Right, that they have a din of a zava. But when the chachamim went ahead and were metapping that, that is only the gabay, right, dama makor, dam nida min haTorah. And the chachamim made a din drabonon about a nachrit that she has like dam nida is like a zava only when it would have been comparatively midoraisa it would have been by tamei by a Jewish woman. When it comes to ketamim, they weren't going there because it's almost like a zera lezera, right? Which is that's already midrabonon, so they didn't add on the additional drabonon that the ketamim of a right, of a non Jewish woman would have a din of tumah. So now we come to this place called rekem. Now the question is, when you find ketamim in rekem, what is the din of finding these clothing that have these stains on them? So that Tanakhama says, which is very, very teorim. They are tahor. Why? Because the robe of Rechem are non-Jews. And since the robe of Rechem are non-Jews, the tamim that are found there are not tameim. It's not an issue. If you're the mitamei, there it says no. He's mitamei. He's saying gerim, bitoim, right? So he says that they are gerim, and they made a mistake. They actually converted. After they converted, they didn't think they were real Jews, or they went back to their old ways. And therefore, they are full-fledged Jews now that don't know the dinim, and therefore the tamim that are found out there are tamim that are tmeim. Mi ben anachrim tovim, mi ben Yisrael ben akutim. So when it comes from anachri, when we talk about a ketan that comes from anachri, we just said before that is tahor. Mi ben Yisrael ben akutim. What happens from a ketan that's found from a Jewess, right, and from a kuti or kutit? Rabbi Meir mitameh, v'chamim mitarim. The mayor says they are tahor because they have a din of tumah. Chachamim mitarim. Chachamim say they are tahor. Shlo next to shoe, no next to do. Al kitmehem. They're not worried. We don't kushet them. Other ktamim. Now, according to the chachamim, to say they are tahor here. Now, what does it turn out? Turns out that a nachrit ketem is tahor, Israeli ketem is tahora, and a kutit ketem is also tahora. Then where is the ketem that the chachamim will go there is tamim. Everybody's in tahor. So that's what the Gemara says, the Rashi, both Tosfos and Rashi point out over here. And when we're talking about ketem, is that when we find a stain, a piece of clothing with a stain on it, out in the public area. So not that a ketem is not metamei, and not that a ketem isn't tamei for a Israeli, but rather that Israelis are makpidim. They know that it's tamei, and therefore they're matniya them. They put them away because they don't want to be affected by roasts that are out there. So you find a piece of clothing out in the public realm with a stain on it, you don't have to suspect that this is from a Jewess, right? You don't expect it came from a Kutit or a Jewess, and think that it's Tamei. Because in general, they are Matsniya them, because they know the din of Taurus. On the other hand, Rabbi Meir is Mitamei. Mitamei from, right, the Kutim, because the Kutim were not Makpidim, all this. Versus the Chachamim say that both the Kutim and the Israelites are Makpid. Rabbi Meir is only the Israelites, not the Kutim that are Makpid. Alma, but what do you see from Rabbi Meir's position? The fact that Rabbi Meir is Mitamei, the Tamim of a Kutit, what does that indicate to you about a Kutit? That what? Amu Kasavar, Rameir, Kutim, Geri, and Metin. Rameir has to believe that they are, what? Full Israelim in order to have their Ketem be Tmeim. The only way that their Ketemim are Tmeim is if they are full-fledged Israelim. So we have a Stira in Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir over there seems to indicate that Kutim, Geri, are Ayotim, because he treats them exactly like a Tani, and over here he's treating them like Israelis. So what's going on? So Amu Rabbi Bauer, Abbas, there's no problem. It is Knas Hush Knas Rabbi Meir b'Munam Shlo Itam Ubehem. The reason is that they specific Knas in order that Klal Yisrael should not get involved with them, that they should not become friendly with them or intermarry with them. I mean, that what's the issue here is that if we have relationships with them or interactions with them, then we might come to marry them, which we're trying to stop over here. So when it comes to Tamim being Tmeim, that doesn't bring you any closer to them. Right, that just actually is marchit you from there. If they're not careful about their ktamim, then we have to worry about, you know, what they're doing. So, but number two, but if you have interactions or civil interactions, right over here, if you're konate them, I mean that if we damage them, you don't pay for it, or if they damage us, they have to pay full damages, that will cause a rift between the parties. And that's something that we are trying to do over here, cause a rift, because we're trying to create a social gap between the kutim and the Israelim. That's what we're trying to accomplish. So maybe Rabbi Zeira says, wait a minute, we have a mission that says, Elo Narot Sheishlem Knas. Right, these are certain girls that get a knas, meaning knas is, you know, for certain items like by a rape victim or a seduction or other things that you get knas for. Havala Mamzeret, Havala Nitina, Havala Kutit. Right, we have here three examples of women who you would think are not necessarily Kshirim Legamre in terms of their Yichut. Nevertheless, they get charged a kenas. You get charged a kenas over here. He says one of the examples is a kutit. Bisal kadatzka kenas Rabbi Meir b'monam. Hachanami niknos. Kedei shalei tamubem. Wait a minute. If Rabbi Meir is konate them, that they should not, right, have their mamon, should not be available, so we should not interact with them, do the same thing over here. We shouldn't have to pay the fine that's owed to the women who were kutit. Because then that would kind of distance us, it would cause a problem. Wait a minute, the person who perpetrated the crime over here did something wrong. He raped a woman, he seduced a woman. What are you going to have? He's not going to pay the knas here? That means that he's going to benefit from doing an aveira because he did with a kutit. We don't want that. That doesn't make sense. So he says, look at this solution. Give it, like you know what people say, give it to the tzaddik. Right, so he says, fine, charge him the knas, but just don't give it to the kutit, give it to the aniyim. So you know what he says over here? The problem with that is, Amar Rav Mari Mishum Davi Mimon Shein Lo Topim. The problem is if we say to him, give it to Aniyim, nobody will be a claimant against him, because Aniyim are a party, right, a general party, and no single Aniyim can come and make a claim against this guy. How are we going to extract the money from the guy because Aniyim, no Aniyim can come and make a valid claim against him? So they pay the knas in order that it should not be Choten Iskar. And just to finish up, to go back to the position of the Chachamim. The position of the Chachamim is, right, they say Patur when Shor Kuti, when you damage the Shor Kuti, you say Patur, because it's the same thing about Meir. They say the Knas in order to create a separation and division between them. On the other hand, they didn't want to go as far. Right, they didn't want to go so far as Rabbi Meir to say that the Knas. Right, exactly.
question.
Exactly. Very good. You're formulating very nicely, right? That they both agree that there was a knazir separate. The question is to what extent did they have a knazir? We may have said this to the extent of Nezek Shalem versus Patur. Some say no, that it was Patur on one side, but on the other side we kept the framework of Tam and Mu'ad, and that's enough to create the knazir that we wanted. All right, let's